The following is a production of Omnis.tv.
Tonight's show will cover This Week in the NFL, the start of the NBA season, Major League Baseball, Chuck Berry, the top movies at the box office, Star Wars, and more tonight on Unsigned. Hey everybody, how's it going out there? It's Tuesday night and welcome to another edition of the Unsigned Show. And it is our Halloween show. Ooh, scary. Well, kind of a bummer in a lot of reasons. One, Hurricane Sandy really kind of not only put a damper on the East Coast in general, but I want to say first off before we get into tonight's show that, thoughts go out to all the people affected by that storm. And hopefully everyone, if you hear this, that you're safe, you're sound, your family's safe and sound, you're dry, and hopefully your power and life gets back to normal as soon as possible for you. From what I understand, the crews are doing the best they can. They always do. And, you can only, I guess, do as much as what you're dealt with. So best luck to everybody out there dealing with those particular conditions. Everyone's like, how's the weather where you are? I'm like, well, I'm in the Nashville, Tennessee area. It was 55 and sunshine today, so... not really feeling the effects of good old Sandy, Hurricane Sandy. I mean, I wonder if like the rescue crews like go around listening to "Rock You Like a Hurricane" or what if they say, yeah, they play that while they're in helicopters rescuing people, but. Another thing that our guest tonight, Scars of NBA, Kick-Ass Metal Band, they weren't able to make it tonight. They're in the New Jersey area. Haven't been able to reach them, unfortunately, due to the conditions. So Ethan and the guys from Scars of NBA, we'll try to get them on again. And best of luck to those guys. Sent them an email wishing them best wishes and hopefully that their family is safe and sound as well. But have no fear. We've got an awesome show for you this evening, and we're going to jump right into it. The maker of Banana Boat Sunscreen is recalling 500,000 bottles of spray-on lotion after reports that a handful of people have actually caught fire applying the product and coming in contact with an open flame. I don't know if this is one of the reasons they're canceling Jersey Shore or not, but so if you have some of that Ultra Mist sunscreen, you may want to check the number there and call the 800 number on the bottle because you don't want to be, you don't want to be near a fire out in the sun. Obviously, it's fall, so you're probably not going to worry about that too much. But, that spray tan lotion, man, you got to be careful with that stuff, man. You catch fire. It puts the lotion on. Ronnie Wood, a selection of memorabilia and artwork from Ronnie Wood of the Rolling Stones, guitarist Ronnie Wood, and his ex-wife, Joe Wood, went up for auction about 2 days ago and also this past weekend. The collection praised... in the Beverly Hills auction featured items spanning for four decades of Wood's music career, including clothing, instruments, and a number of other items. Among prizes were the 1955 Fender Stratocaster guitar that Wood played on stage, which sold for over $60,000. A cardboard cutout of guitarist Keith Richards was also given out. It was confused with the real Keith Richards at first, but when they realized it was actually just cardboard, it only was sold for $6,875. The auction also included a lithograph Wood drew on Eric Clapton, signed by both Wood and Clapton, which sold for $5,120. Ronnie and Joe Wood separated in 2008 after 23 years of marriage. The auction was part of the divorce settlement, which was finalized in 2011. A portion of the proceeds will go to the musician's charity foundation as Music Cares. Now, speaking of auctions, we've covered this the last couple weeks, and we've been keeping track of Virgins Wanted because the young Brazilian woman, Katrina, who was auctioning off her virginity. Now, last week, the bidding was about 10 hours left when we did our show last week, was at $480,000. It finished with a final bid of $780,000, and the winner of that young woman's vagina is, drumroll please, Natsu from Japan. That, my friends, will buy you a lot of sake. It'll also buy you a first-class plane ticket to international waters to have sex with a 20-year-old Brazilian woman. Congratulations, Natsu.
Equal or lesser value for only a penny. Try and be pussy for a penny. If you can find cheaper pussy anywhere, fuck it.
Yeah. Versions one. And also, I believe there's a lawsuit with the Brazilian government is trying to go after Virgins Wanted and the filmmaker and the people making the documentary and publicizing this, saying it's people trafficking. But the woman volunteered for this, so kind of a sketchy area there. So maybe you want to hold off to that $780,000 to find out whether or not you're going to be arrested on a jet plane somewhere in international waters. But speaking of really odd stories, this one struck me as kind of funny. As a bank robbery, Syracuse police say a 28-year-old man named Arthur Bundridge of East Syracuse, New York, went into a bank about 9 a.m. and demanded $20,000. Authorities say the teller actually initially refused and relented to give him money, but eventually just gave in. Now, he showed no weapon and made no threat. He just got $20,000. Now, investigators say Bundridge left but returned when he found that he was not given the full $20,000. Officers said they found him at the bank's front locked door trying to get back in. So the guy goes in there and demands $20,000, gets money, gets away. Then he realizes, hey, I didn't get my full $20,000. I'm going back. That teller ripped me off. And then obviously he was arrested because police were there filing a report, and they're like, hey, that's the guy at the front door. You guys shorted me my $20,000. He now faces a fourth-degree grand larceny as well. Police say he does not yet have a lawyer. You know, it's a pretty dumb crime when a defense attorney hasn't shown up to defend you yet, even a public defender. That's always a bad sign. This is an interesting story coming out of Germany. I'm going to title this Another One Bites the Dust. Polish car thieves made away with 12 sealed coffins that were in a van that they stole in Germany. The Associated Press wrote this. Polish police say the coffins were found early Tuesday in the woods near western Polish city of Konin. The thieves apparently dumped the coffins after they unwittingly stole the van in Germany that was on its way to a crematorium. The coffins were in three of the vans stolen on the night of October 14th in Berlin. According to a Polish newspaper, the coffins were found closed and undamaged. Police say the coffins had been transported to the Department of Forensic Medicine in Poland. The reason I titled that Another One Bites the Dust, I can just imagine these guys, you know, driving, and I guess, you know, maybe the same thing that the hurricane rescue people do. They listen to, you know, Rocky Like a Hurricane. These guys, you know, maybe they're playing AC/DC Highway to Hell as they're driving around with 12 coffins. I don't know. It's very, very interesting stuff right here. I'm telling you right now. Chuck Berry, at 86 years old, Chuck Berry said he's playing. He played a short raw set at Cleveland State Theater this past Saturday night. He said at his age, he's happy to be anywhere. Now, a crowd that was equally ecstatic, Berry traveled to Cleveland for a tribute concert in his honor, which included performers Merle Haggard, Ronnie Hopkins, Daryl DMC McDaniels, and also Lemmy from Motorhead. At the end of the night, Berry accepted the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame American Masters of Music Award, wrapping the Hall of Fame week-long celebration of Berry's life, which concluded with a late-night jam session with Lemmy. And also did a rare interview with a journalist as well at the Hall of Fame conference room. Then I finished up again with Berry graciously accepting the award, and a rare move, invited his wife on stage. Ladies and gentlemen, his wife of 62 years old, he said, it's going to be our 63rd this June. Most of the night's performers returned to the stage for rock and roll music, which was actually led by Lemmy and Berry. And halfway through the set, Lemmy and the singer, again, from Motorhead, and Chuck Berry slap high five and carry on the evening. So what a sight to behold there at the Cleveland Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Don't get too many good stories about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and that's one of them that I wanted to share with you there. Chuck Berry at 86, one of the, you know, the real originators, I think, of rock and roll. I think everybody can relate to Chuck Berry, and I mean, so many great songs. you know, for him to still probably one of his last shows, if you think in his age and his health at this point on stage with some of these legends, including Lemmy from Motorhead playing. That's definitely a great story. I'm glad we could share it for you this evening. And since we don't have a music guest tonight, I kind of feel bad. Scars of Envy. I tell you what, stick around if you guys are into heavy metal music. These guys, when we get them back on the show, are going to be awesome. But we're going to move right on tonight with our NFL Pigskin Picks.
False start. Start. Offense. Everyone but the center.
You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
Playoffs? Don't talk about it. Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
Congratulations. See you in Pittsburgh.
Can't wait.
That's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
NFL Pigskin Picks. Tell you what, I had a pretty good week picking some games. My trend of picking the Thursday night game continues. I just can't pick Thursday night primetime games, apparently. I went 9-5 on the week, which on the season leaves me at 66-34 on picking NFL games so far in this at the halfway point of the NFL season. Let's take a look at this week's games. Thursday night, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers heading to Minnesota, taking on the Vikings. And really, what came as a shock to me, 36-17 win for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And rookie running back Doug Martin, originally played at Boise State, had an outstanding night catching, receiving, running. He did a little bit of everything there in Tampa Bay. Looks like they're shaping into form, the form that they were, you know, were maybe 2 years ago when they were 10-6 and made the playoffs. Dolphins, Jets. Wow. I mean, the Jets, I guess you could just say were grounded. I mean, not even Tim Tebow could save them from the 30-9 holy beating at home in front of their own fans against the division rival Miami Dolphins. 30-9 in front of your home crowd. Eesh, that is a beating. Now, how about this? I picked the Chargers to win because, you know, I guess I'm just going to not pick the Browns to win any more games, and maybe they'll win. The Browns get a victory, the second of the season, at Cleveland Browns Stadium. It's 35 degrees. The wind is blowing like crazy. It's raining. It's a monsoon. And the Browns find a way to win a close game. Games they've been losing all year by 1-2 points, one score, a field goal. These are games they've been losing the first 5 weeks of the season. Now winners of 2 out of 3. And Trent Richardson, even with the banged up ribs, rushes for over 120 yards and a touchdown, and showed signs of really how great this kid really, really can be. The Browns host the Ravens this week in Cleveland. Maybe a little payback from that Thursday night game. The Colts heading down to Nashville to take on the Tennessee Titans. Well, the Titans, they've been really good at home, even though they haven't been a good football team. They've been very sound at home, winning 5 in a row at home, but found a way to lose this game in overtime to a division rival, the Indianapolis Colts. Tough loss for the Titans there. Patriots taking on the Rams. The New England Patriots playing in London. Anybody find that interesting? Anybody? No? Okay. Well, New England Patriots playing the St. Louis Rams in London, and the Rams were fried like a plate of fish and chips. It was Patriots, Patriots, Patriots. Rob Gronkowski was probably the best touchdown dance of the day, and there were lots of them. 45-7 New England Patriots all over the St. Louis Rams. Jags, Packers. It took a while for the Packers to get going, but they eventually did, beating the helpless Jags 24-15. Falcons, Eagles. Wow, you know what? I've never seen an Eagles team look as bad as they have coming out of a bye week than they did this week. I mean, they look like, granted, the conditions were not great, but a lot of the conditions in the East and Northeast, because of the hurricane, were not ideal. And you didn't see the Falcons. They didn't seem to be bothered by it. They scored 30 points. The Eagles only scored 17. Michael Vick was awful. He didn't turn the ball over for the first game that I can remember all season, but they just, there's something going on in Philadelphia. There's an issue there. And I believe Andy Reid and a lot of other people will be out at this point. That bird is not flying anytime. And the Falcons, you know, a lot of people were turning this about the Eagles. This is really about the Falcons remaining unbeaten. Nobody's beaten this team yet. Matt Ryan is having an MVP-type season. No one's really talking about them. I wasn't real high on them, really. I know they're a good football team, but I didn't think they would be 8-0 at this point in the season. Here they are, 8-0, the best record in the NFL, and looking to have home field advantage, which is not a place you want to go play in the playoffs and go play down in that dome and land on the fast track with Julio Jones and Roddy White trying to defend those guys with Matt Ryan throwing the ball over the field. I don't know who's going to beat the Falcons. We'll see. still a lot of season to go here. Redskins taking on the Steelers in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh coming out of that bye week. I tell you what, RG3, I like RG3. He's really, really good. But this is the first time he's ever seen that Steelers defense and that really wacky 3-4 and all the roaming blitzes. He'd never seen anything like that in college. And he looks shell-shocked. He was really held in check all day by that Steelers defense. Again, not something you used to see. And that Steelers defense is very unique. And Taylor Made name, but Dick LeBeau has been calling that defense for a long, long time. And RG3 looked confused. It's okay. You know, there are guys that played 10 years in the league that still look like crap when they play that Steelers defense. So the Steelers, again, a team that really starting to take shape halfway through the season, maybe making another playoff run in what I think is a very weak AFC this year, 27-12 victory over the Redskins in Pittsburgh. The Seahawks taking on the Lions. I tell you what, the Seahawks had the Lions dead to rights like a poacher in the wild. But the roar of the Lions late would allow a dramatic win. The Lions squeak out a win at home over the Seahawks, 28-24. Very disappointing loss for Seattle, but they head home for some home cooking up there in the 12th man, and that's a really tough place to play up in Seattle. So they get a couple home games after being on the road the last couple weeks. Panthers taking on the Bears. From Lions to Bears, oh my. I tell you, this Chicago Bears defense is they're really good. They scored another touchdown. That's Bears defense has scored 6 touchdowns this season alone. That is just amazing. And when we did our pregame and our pre-shows for the NFL, I said this team is going to be a handful, and they really are. This defense is better than I thought they were. And the offense is really coming along. Jay Cutler, Matt Forte, Brandon Marshall, who's a very elite receiver, and Bears, it looked really, really tough. They win. It was a close game. It was an ugly game, but good teams find a way to win ugly football games. 23-22. Robbie Gould kicks a field goal. Check Gold for the win. Yeah, that's an awful headline, but that's the way it goes. Hey, Raiders, Chiefs, Brady Quinn in for the Chiefs. Brady Quinn out for the Chiefs with a head injury. Hard shot to the head. Same old, same. Matt Castle comes in. Same results. Another loss for Romeo Crennel and his Kansas City Chiefs. 26-16. Giants, Cowboys. How about them Cowboys? You can't spot the Super Bowl champions 20-plus points and expect to win. Fumbles, interceptions, miscues, penalties, typical Cowboys stuff, and really a poor showing in general. They did make a game of it late, and I thought they actually won the game with a touchdown pass to Dez Bryant. Turns out he actually falls out of bounds, and the touchdown is overturned, rightfully so. The Giants hold on for the victory and command of the NFC North. Saints, Broncos. Well, I'll tell you what, Peyton Manning and the Broncos are starting to really be a threat in the AFC. Peyton Manning has been outstanding. In the last 4 games, Peyton Manning has thrown 12 touchdown passes and 1 interception and has already thrown over 2,000 yards this season, on pace for 24 touchdowns and over 4,000 yards on the season. And this is a guy who missed a complete season with 3 neck surgeries at age 36. Peyton Manning, truly special, special player, and right in the MVP talks as far as I'm concerned. Now, 49ers, Cardinals, Monday Night Football. This was not a game at all. It was domination of the Arizona Cardinals. I mean, what else can you say? Complete domination. I mean, they squeezed the life out of the Arizona Cardinals. 49ers defense in all facets of the game. It was a no contest. Arizona should have just, they could have just put their uniforms out there, because they didn't look like they showed up in front of their own fans to get dominated in the fashion that they did. 24-3. And the 3 points was a 4th and 2 late in the third quarter. You know, you're down 24-0 and you finally get down there and you settle for a field goal on 4th and 2 on the 20-yard line. I thought Pat Shurmur was the coach of the Cardinals for a second. But that's your Pigskin Pick'ems this week. Now, those are the scores. Here's this week's games. A lot of interesting games coming up. The Thursday night game, again, I'm going to try to pick a Thursday night game. One of these games I'm going to pick right. Chiefs, Chargers. I tell you what, both of these teams are really bad. The Chargers look awful. Phillip Rivers looked like a crazy man out there yelling and screaming at his players every single play. I tell you what, initially, I wanted to take the Chargers here. I'm going to stick with them because I think overall they're a more fundamentally sound team. The Kansas City Chiefs are in turmoil. Not that the Chargers aren't, but I'm going to take the Chargers for the fact that they're playing at home. Cardinals, Packers. I'm taking the Packers at home. The Cardinals, that ship after that 4-0 start, they are sinking fast. They just can't score. They can't protect the quarterback. They have major issues there. Bears heading to Nashville to take on the Titans. Look, the Titans have been better with Matt Hasselbeck at quarterback and Jake Locker's out with a separated shoulder. With that being said, that Bears defense is nasty, and they can score, and the Titans defense can't stop anybody. I'm sorry, they just can't. So at that point, I'm taking the Bears over the Titans on the road. Broncos heading to Cincinnati to take on a young Bengals team, which I really like the Bengals for what they've done, but I think Peyton Manning is just in a zone right now. Not a good time to be playing him. I think Broncos win in Cincinnati. Panthers heading to Washington to take on the Redskins. You got Cam Newton versus RG3. This is a top-up. The Panthers have been close in a lot of games. They're itching for a win here. They thought they had the Bears on the hook last week, and they didn't. Depends. We'll find out about the mental toughness of the Carolina Panthers and Cam Newton. I think there's guys in that locker room, Steve Smith, are not going to let this team fold, even though they are 1-6 at this point. I'm going to say Carolina gets an upset in Washington. Ravens heading to Cleveland to take on the Browns. As you know, I'm a Browns fan. There's a part of me that says the Browns are going to get a win. It's called a winning streak, winning two in a row. But the analysis in me says Ravens on a bye week after being humiliated in Texas 2 weeks ago. That is not a good recipe for heading to Cleveland. Hopefully the conditions are awful. I think the Ravens win, but it's not going to be easy. Dolphins, Colts. I'm taking the Dolphins heading to Indy. This team has really, really evolved and really taken form under Ryan Tannehill, and that defense is playing very, very good. Bills taking on the Texans. Look, the Bills have struggled on the road in general. Heck, they've struggled all season. I'm taking the Texans at home here. Vikings heading to Seattle to take on the Seahawks. This is going to be an old-fashioned slug out right here, but I think the Seahawks defense with the running game and the maturation of Russell Wilson, I'm taking the Seahawks in a close one. Tampa Bay Buccaneers heading to the Black Hole taking on the Raiders. I'm taking the Tampa Bay Bucs in a close one. Steelers, Giants. I'm surprised this is not a primetime game. Giants at home. Been interesting to see how they're going to play this in the New York area, considering everything that's going on. But with that being said, I'm taking the Giants and a victory at home. Cowboys, Falcons. The Cowboys are a mess. I don't see them heading to Atlanta and beating the Falcons, who are red hot. Don't see it. The Falcons remain unbeaten. Monday Night Football, Eagles, Saints. Two teams really in turmoil here. The Saints, you understand the turmoil with, you know, the Saints, the Bounty Saint Gate, and all the issues they've had with coaches and injuries and suspended players and not having your general manager, your head coach, your defensive coordinator, multiple guys suspended on that defense. Just a mess. New Orleans, they're doing the best they can. They still have Drew Brees. And the Eagles, I don't know. They're Jekyll and Hyde. You don't know what team you're going to get. And with that being said, I'm taking the Saints at home on Monday night. And that has been your NFL Pigskin Pick'ems and recap here this evening. Moving on now. Everybody knows I'm a huge boxing fan. And I'm going to reel off a bunch of boxers for you. And just take a guess what they all have in common. Evander Holyfield, two-time world champion. Oscar De La Hoya, six division championships. Julio Cesar Chavez, three division championships. Lennox Lewis, two-time heavyweight champion. Thomas Hearns, five-time division champion. Jermaine Taylor, undisputed middleweight champion. Leon Spinks, heavyweight champion. Vladimir Klitschko, current heavyweight champion. All those names plus a slew of others, total 43 different champions trained by the one and the only, the boxing legend, Emmanuel Stewart, who passed away this past week at the age of 68 years old. Now, Emmanuel Stewart is a legend of boxing. Many people may know him more as his commentary later in his career through HBO Sports, but through the late 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and even part of the early 2000s with Team Klitschko, he was part of training all those. Some of those are you, that list I just gave you, those are all Hall of Fame boxers, every single one of them. All trained by Emmanuel Stewart. And not much you can really say. I think Larry Merchant said it best, and I'll read a quote that you know that kind of sums this up for you as far as the passing of Emmanuel Stewart and losing these legends. And this another legend this year in 2012 that's passed. It really shows the effect and that the golden age of boxing unfortunately has passed. You have UFC now, which is really huge, and obviously NFL, NBA. These sports have really taken off. And have been able to sustain where boxing has really tapered off, especially in the last 10 years. Partly because of the heavyweight division and just, you know, some of the fights you want to see, you just never see. Pacquiao, Mayweather, anybody? That boat, I think, has almost sailed at this point. At this point, these guys are going to be too old. Who wants to see them fight? I still want to see it. Make it happen. Somebody, please. But here's the what Larry Merchant said about the passing of Emanuel Stewart, again, a legend of boxing, and another boxing loses another member of its fabric, and it's really sad. He's a great man, a pioneer of Detroit boxing, and very passionate about it. There are many trainers who had champions, but not multiple champions like he did. He took guys from the amateurs and made them champions. He took guys from the scrap heap and made them champions. A guy who had time for everybody. He did it for decades and with great enthusiasm. If Emanuel said something was exceptional, it wasn't just another cheerleader getting excited in the moment. There was one of many different ways I bow to him and his superior knowledge. The kind of things that he said in the moment were things that were often surpassed my ability to convey them. I feel a personal loss, and he will be greatly missed. Emanuel Stewart passing away at the age of 68 years old, a legend, boxing legend. Brighter news, I was telling Mike, our producer, it's like Christmas for me. The NBA season started this evening. And I'm really excited, and we haven't talked a lot of NBA here of late, and we'll have to get old Mr. Jeff Sack back on here, a guy who's been covering the NBA for 30 years. We'll try to get Mr. Jeff Sack on here. He's been on the show quite a bit in the last year or so. We haven't talked to Jeff in a while, so we'll try our best to get him on at some point between all the bands and guests and everything we've been doing. But here's a quick synopsis of what I think the NBA playoffs will look like. These are my top teams in the East and West, teams to keep an eye on. This year in the East, obviously the Miami Heat. This is no particular order, by the way, as far as seeding is concerned, but these are the teams that I think will make the playoffs. The Heat, obviously defending champions. The Brooklyn Nets, no longer New Jersey Nets. They're now the Brooklyn Nets. The Boston Celtics have retooled. They're going to make one final run at it with KG and Paul Pierce. The Philadelphia 76ers under Doug Collins, very interesting team, especially with the moves they made in the offseason with Andrew Bynum. The Atlanta Hawks, former Cavs general manager Danny Ferry, now running that team basketball operations-wise, has made some interesting moves. I still think they'll be in the playoffs. The New York Knicks, if they can keep everybody healthy, the Knicks are a very dangerous team with Carmelo Anthony. Amari's going to miss about the first 8 weeks of the season with a bad knee. Really unfortunate scenario for him. And the Chicago Bulls, I know Derrick Rose is not there, still recovering from knee injury. But the Chicago Bulls team is still very, very good and very sound. They're going to play very, very good defense under Tom Thibodeau. And the Indiana Pacers, Paul George, Danny Granger, Roy Hibbert. You saw they pushed the Miami Heat to the brink last year in the playoffs. That Pacers team is not going anywhere. And you look out west, the West has always been very, very competitive, but you still have your top heavy teams. And that is one I'm going to start with, the Los Angeles Lakers. You still have Kobe. You get Steve Nash, and now you have Dwight Howard. Then you look at the San Antonio Spurs. Yeah, Tim Duncan, Ginobili, and those guys are getting older. But guys like Danny Green, Kawhi Leonard, keep that name in mind if you're playing NBA fantasy. Kawhi Leonard is going to be a ball player in San Antonio. The Oklahoma City Thunder just made a big trade, trading the Beard, one of my favorite players in the league, James the Beard Harden, heading to Houston in return for Kevin Martin and some draft picks. But I still think the Thunder are a very good team. They have the Clippers with Blake the Earthquake Griffin and CP3 Chris Paul. The Denver Nuggets are going to be very, very good. The Portland Trailblazers, Memphis Grizzlies, and I'm going to say this, the Minnesota Timberwolves, they've been mediocre at best for years since Kevin Garnett has left. I look for them to make a run, maybe get into that final seventh or eighth seed spot in the West there. And that's what I think the playoff picture is going to look like come May and June. Obviously, a long way to go. The season just started. You get 82 games to go. But there's some interesting scenarios out there right now to keep an eye on. So we'll try to do a little bit more NBA as we carry on here and the season gets underway, especially towards the end of the year and you get January and February when that trade deadline comes around. We'll definitely cover that a little bit more in detail. Now, let's take a look at the top movies at the box office this past week. Top movies, starting with number 10, moving on the way up, is number 10, the movie Fun Size. Number 10, Sinister, $4.9 million. Number 8, Alex Cross, $5.1 million. Here Comes the Boom at $5.2 billion. The movie Taken at $7.7 million. Silent Hill, 3D, $8 million. Paranormal Activity 4, $8.5 $5 million. Hotel Transylvania, $9.4 million. Cloud Atlas, which kind of came on a movie starring Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks actually plays six different characters in this film. Looks very, very good. Some of the critics aren't into it. They say it's a little weird or hard to follow. Sometimes you can't always go by that. But a $9.6 million opening weekend. And Argo, still at number one, getting great reviews, $12 million. Now, speaking of, you saw a lot of horror movies on there, and it is Halloween night. So I figured we'd talk some horror movies. Now, I always try to watch a good horror movie or two. My wife doesn't like horror movies, so that kind of means that I don't get a chance to watch horror movies as much. But I try to get, you know, sneak in as many as I can, you know. And, I mean, obviously, you know, the classics, Jason, Freddy. Mike, you have any particular horror movies you enjoy, man?
I like People Under the Stairs.
Oh, that is a good one.
Right?
Yeah. No, People in the Stairs. That movie used to creep me out. That's a creepy movie.
It still creeps me out. I like the scene where the guy's like, you know, why can't you speak? And he sticks out his tongue and his tongue's all gone. He just makes the slicing motion with his finger.
Yeah. Yeah. That guy's my uncle. No. There's a lot of interesting movies, especially nowadays, just more of the paranormal stuff, like the Paranormal Activity movies, number four now out in the theaters. But Children of the Corn was always a creepy one. Anytime kids are scary and creepy and stalking people, it creeps me out a little bit. Child's Play, not like the first one or two, Chucky. Those were always kind of creepy, too, with the doll. Dolls are creepy, too. Master of Puppets. So that's Stephen King, right?
I don't.
But, yeah. So if you get some horror movies, definitely tweet them to me, Brian_Unsigned. Let me know some of your favorite horror movies. You know, I watched a horror movie last year. I don't know if it was more of a horror movie, kind of in that paranormal area, where it was called Case 39. And again, a horror movie featuring a really creepy kid who was basically demonic, and their parents tried to kill her by stuffing her in an oven and turning the oven on. And Renee Zellweger's in the film. She plays a social worker who rescues the girl from the oven. So I guess if you got a kid that's possessed by the devil, you stick him in the oven. Preheat that thing at 350 degrees, by the way. I'm going to stop while I'm not ahead here. Now, Disney has just confirmed that it has acquired George Lucas Films LTD. That includes rights to Star Wars. And a lot of people are really sad. It makes me sad because that means Disney's going to be making Star Wars movies. That's scary. Company has targeted a 2015 release for Star Wars Episode 7, with Episode 8, Episode 9 to follow, and a long-term plan to release a new feature every 2 or 3 years. The last Star Wars movie was released in 2005, which was retitled Revenge of the Sith. And we believe there's a substantial pent-up demand, Disney says. The deal also includes Indiana Jones franchise as well. The stock and cash transactions is worth an estimate of $4 billion, and the companies have scheduled a conference call as well to discuss the deal, which will be approved by Disney board and by Lucas and the sole Lucasfilm shareholder. Now, also the Star Wars installments and company said Lucasfilm's Kathleen Kennedy would be executive producer on Episode 7 and many more Star Wars movies. And Lucas George Lucas would also serve as creative consultants on any future films, Episode 7, 8, or 9. Mike, your take on the Star Wars selling to Disney?
I got to be honest with you, man. I like the original three Star Wars. The later three, not a big fan of at all. And I partly blame that on Lucas. Two hands on. Dude, I got to be honest with you. I've been a big fan of Disney for a long time. They put out some great, great movies. They put out some great things. So I'm actually kind of excited about the prospects of them taking over the Star Wars franchise from a licensing right more than anything else. But seeing that they're going to release a 7 kind of scares me because regardless of who owns Star Wars rights, the 7th, I don't know. They took the original three and they just basically just crapped all over them with the next three. So I'm afraid to see what the 7th, possibly 8th and 9th will look like.
That's where I'm at too. Like, where does this story pick up at? Does it pick up after Darth Vader, or does it pick up in that timeline between the first three and the original three that were released in the late 70s and early 80s? That's kind of the leeway there as far as where does the story pick up at?
From what I remember, Well, what I remember is that we know it's not going to pick up between the three. It shouldn't. Because the first three were, 4, 5, and 6. And then the second three are 1, 2, and 3. 7's obviously going to follow 6. But I do remember years and years ago when they announced the prequels. Geez, this is back in the 90s. They had mentioned that George Lucas's goal was actually to release the prequels and then later on continue off of 6 and release 7, 8, and 9. So this could have been in the greater plan since the late 70s, early 80s.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's very possible. As long as it's not as bad as John Carter, I guess we'll be okay.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, they could always just do redo Fraggle Rock and Star Wars motif. I mean, now you got Disney and Lucas back together. I mean, that's a combination of them too with Jim Henson.
Yeah, no, I think it'd be interesting. I think the main thing I think a lot of people were concerned about, even myself, is where the story, how the storyline is, because the first three, episode 1, 2, and 3, the Sith, Clone Wars.
Yeah.
Not the stories are okay. They're okay. They're okay stories. But I think you need to have a very good, a great story. There needs to be a great story there for it to really be Star Wars. And I think those first three really lacked to captivate the audience storyline wise, as compared to Return of the Jedi, Empire Strikes Back, where the stories were just so layered and there was just so much to it. And the first three were kind of like, it's very simplistic.
Well, you know what? And that's the biggest problem is the story. Even in the first three, the stories were phenomenal. They were just written so poorly. And then you have George Lucas, who somehow manages to make, what's her name? She played Princess Amidala in the first three. Natalie Portman. He managed to make Natalie Portman look robotic and a poor actress. You mentioned Empire Strikes Back, which it's not uncommon to hear people that like Star Wars mention that as their favorite one. And there's a reason for that. It wasn't written by Lucas, nor was it directed by Lucas. He was an executive producer. He brought in others to create the actual dialogue, as well as did not direct it himself. And that, I believe, is a reason why it was it was the best one, in my opinion. Because Lucas, he's got a creative mind, man. I'm not going to diss him at all. I mean, he's got some really great ideas in his head. He just can't put the pen to the paper and create a convincing character. Nor can he, even if the pen is to the paper by somebody else's labor, can he get that quality acting out of the actors and actresses on the set. I just don't think he has the ability to. That's kind of the reason why I'm excited if the seventh one is truly released in 2015, which they claim it will be, that Lucas has a executive producer title in the movie and oversees it, but does not go too hands-on. Now, here's a real question for you, though. Who's going to direct it?
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to see when it comes time to, when the idea leaves paper, or their iPad or whatever they're putting it on, and, when it actually goes to production, who are the people going to be directing, casting as well? Those are all things that still need to be addressed as far as very, very – it's very, very nutshell right now, So interesting to see casting, director, producer, all those things got to come into play. There'd be interesting to see what direction they take this. I think the potential is definitely there.
Yeah.
You mentioned Pixar off the air. Again, with them involved with Disney, the potential's there. It remains to be seen how they put it together, though.
Here's something to think about. Maybe they actually, because Lucas has great, yeah, just great artists there. Just phenomenal artists, both visual as well as audible artists. Pixar, of course, they actually use Lucas for their audio. If you go and read the credits on a lot of these Pixar films, they talk about how they're mixed at Skywalker Studios, which is, of course, where the THX certification really was born. One thing that I did like a lot about the Star Wars, the post trilogy, was what was between what was the Clone Wars, right? That animated series that was on Cartoon Network. It was pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
Makes me wonder if they're going – I doubt they're going to do this. But makes me wonder if they might even go into the direction of creating – I don't know if you remember the Final Fantasy movie, the 3D Final Fantasy movie back in 98, 99.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right, the Ghost Within or something like that. We have the technology to even make that look better, which kind of sounds funny. If maybe they go in that direction and the new Star Wars really is kind of like Pixar on Smack.
No, yeah.
I don't know. I'm just kind of talking out of my behind here. But the only other thing that I'm really scared about with the seventh is they ruined the original trilogy with the Ewoks. Really just decimated all three of the second trilogy with Jar Jar Binks. Although they had the common courtesy to remove him from the second and third as much as possible. What atrocity are they going to introduce in the seventh, eighth, or ninth episodes is, I guess, what I'm the most concerned about. What annoying character that is literally targeted at a five-year-old will take potentially a great storyline, great characters, and bring them to a whole new level of Disney.
Well, the good news is they've already killed Jar Jar Binks.
I hope. I mean, was it a slow, just drawn-out death scene? Is it on YouTube? I guess that's a real question.
Quarter of Jar Jar Binks on YouTube.
Yeah. It was just a couple. It was like a Hummer and three Jeeps, right?
Yeah.
All in first gear, just idle. Just like idle first gear, just let it naturally progress.
Very nice. Heck yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, that concludes our Star Wars talk this evening. And I tell you what, I'll give you a couple NBA scores here. We got a little time at the end of the show. The Cleveland Cavaliers opening up in Cleveland tonight beat the Washington Wizards. Kyrie Irving with 29 points. Anderson Varejao with 23 rebounds and 9 assists. Unbelievable game by the Cavs at home. And currently right now, halfway through the third quarter, the Miami Heat up 10 over the Boston Celtics, 75-65. LeBron James has 9 rebounds and 22 points all the way into that game in their season opener. And the late game this evening is the Lakers taking on the Mavericks at the Staples Center. That should be an interesting question whether or not Kobe Bryant would play or not. And again, we'll try to cover more NBA as we move on here. And tell you what, that's really all I have for you this evening. And, unfortunately, we didn't have a guest tonight due to circumstances with the weather and the hurricane, but we'll try to get Scars of Envy back on at some point. Hopefully those guys are definitely safe and sound. Unfortunately, we haven't been able to hear from them, so we'll do our best to make contact with them. And also, thank you everybody for supporting the show. We have a lot of great things coming up. We have an interview with the touring bass player from Shadows Fall, which will air here in a couple weeks, so stick around for that. And we have a lot of great guests coming up. The Lauren Wolf Band, band Night Screams, and also a couple other great surprises on December 18th. We're going to be doing a Christmas special. Venatica will be coming back on, and a great guest from the UK as well. We're working on trying to get on as well. So definitely keep us locked here on Unsigned on OMNIS.TV. We got a lot of great stuff coming up really build off all the great things we've been doing with a lot of great bands we've had. And we thank all of them for the support they've given us. And hey, it seems harder to enjoy the finer things in life. Until next time, do so.